Hi, thank you very much for coming. So how many play video games? Oh, not many. Okay, well, we've all actually got something in common, which you might not think about. You're actually 10 seconds older than you were 10 seconds ago. And by the time I reach the end of this talk, you'd be 15 minutes older than you were 15 minutes ago. So we're all getting older, right? It's something we don't like to talk about. It's something we don't like to think about, but it's happening. And one of the interesting things that come up in recent research is video games and aging and how they can help with cognition. As we get older, our think processes don't work so well. And there's been a lot of recent research into other effects, positive and negative effects of video games, but not on cognition. And that's where my research comes in. I'm a designer, and I teach interactive media design. I teach video game design. And I've really been fired up to think about what games am I going to be playing when I'm older, and what games are you going to be playing when you're older? Who's designing them? Well, it's going to be us. So we're all getting older. Gamers are getting older. The average age of today's gamer is 30, which is maybe not a surprise to some of you, but it's a surprise to a lot of people because they think most video gamers are like 18, you know, down in basements, that sort of thing. It's sad but true, but it's not. We're getting older. There's a lot more people in their 40s and 50s playing video games now. People are also playing video games for a lot longer. The average age people have been playing games for is 13. I've been playing games almost all my life, or so have you. You might have stopped at some point, but actually, how many of you have got a cell phone, or a mobile phone, or a tablet device, right? That's the new gaming platform. Most of you have played Angry Birds at some point. Most of you have played Flappy Bird, or Candy Crush, God help you, stuff like that, or Farmville, right? So when we think about video games, we're not just thinking about Call of Duty, blowing things up, shooting things. We're thinking about games across a much, much broader spectrum. And how they work cognitively is what's interesting. So there's been a lot of video game research really built out of negative press. It kind of makes sense. A lot of people have been talking about, you know, violence in video games. How does it affect our kids? Bloody, bloody, blah. And that's all valid and great. But there's been almost no research onto the positive effects of our mental states when playing video games, and specifically how they can be used to treat mental health problems. And this research is so new. I'm talking about September last year. That's how new it is. But there's definite research that's very real and very repeatable about how video games promote positive mental well-being. And that's really, really important. And I'll talk about that as I'm going on. So this is what we get out of playing games. Social, emotional, cognitive, and problem-solving skills. We don't think about it much when we're crushing our enemies in Call of Duty, or we're, you know, playing, getting that bird around that next corner, or whatever we're doing. But what we're doing is problem-solving constantly. We're engaged with this medium in the same way, completely different way to we do with film and video. Those are passive meetings. We sit back and we watch Harry Potter, like, wash over us, right? But games, you have to lean forward. You have to be engaged with them. So when you're engaged that way, you're problem-solving. You're thinking, well, how do I beat this person? How do I beat that boss? How do I get a higher score? How do I compete with my friends? That sort of thing. And while we're doing that, our cognition is constantly worrying. It's constantly sort of moving. And we're also dealing with our emotions as well. They're social elements. We play online. We play with our friends. We share. You know, Farmville got out of hand, but, you know, a lot of people are sharing stuff about that. So all this stuff is happening already, but we just haven't quantified it and tested it and seen all the positive effects. So why do we play video games, right? We like to win. I mean, you know, there's a nature versus nurture thing going on here, but what games do, absolutely, is part of their definition of why we play games. There's been research into what fun is, why we play, all that sort of jazz. But games create this persistent, optimistic, motivational style. We play because we're competing with ourselves, we're competing with the game. It's fun, but it's also rewarding. Games are brilliant at giving us rewards. We get trophies, we get achievements, we get dings, we get dongs, we get, you know, if you play Candy Crush, you've won, brilliant. They're constantly positively reinforcing us. I don't know about most of your jobs, but certainly you very rarely get lots of pats on the back. People don't come and go, good job. Games do that all the time. Like, you can play a game for like 10 minutes and it's constantly, you're brilliant, you're the best, you're great. Or you suck, but then all of a sudden you do better and it's like, you've done really great. So games constantly create and recreate this optimistic style, and it's very motivational. That's one of the reasons that we play games. So most people, hopefully some of you anyway, are aware of how video games have changed to become more active, especially in young kids. Get them off the couch. Games like Dance Dance Revolution, the Kinect has a bunch of fitness games, as has the Wii, and they've done really, really well. And it's actually done great in getting kids off the couches, slimming them down, making them more fit, making them think about exercise in a way that's not, oh, I don't want to do it, or I don't want to go outside today. It gets them up and engages them. Because again, games reward us. Games are constantly telling you how great you're doing. And if you're on a diet or if you're outside running, you don't get that very often. You know what I mean? Especially because if you're playing team sports, your team loses. That kind of sucks. You know, especially if your team loses a lot, that definitely sucks. You know, but games constantly will tell you. And if you do get pushed back a little bit, games will push you back up again. They go, okay, you're sucking right now. Try again. And da, da, da. You know, they're designed that way. They're designed to motivate you and make you feel better. And you know what? It's again, not a research thing, but it's no surprise to anyone. We like feeling better. And it sounds really stupid, but we do. That's one of the reasons that we like playing games. So recent research, 2013. For those that don't know what real-time strategy game is, well, I can't help you there. No, seriously, it might be a lot of real-time strategy games are normally like kind of war games. They don't have to be. It might be your Napoleon fighting the English forces at Waterloo or something. But what research has found is that real-time strategy games really, really help in this increased cognitive flexibility. And what that means is it's not just, you know, thinking about getting up in the morning and driving a car. You're multitasking. You're thinking of your resource management. You're thinking of what armies you need. You're thinking of what your troops need. There's always different things going on, so you're multitasking constantly. And real-time strategy, this happened to be the genre that they studied in this, the increase in cognitive flexibility was significant. It wasn't just like, well, you're a little bit better off than you were yesterday. They're massively better off. And people that have played these games have actually increased their cognitive flexibility. It makes them better thinkers. And it makes, and this is one of the takeaways, it makes your brain younger. And that's really, really important. That's what the research is starting to show. So where we're at right now, as of September, is NeuroRace, which is a game that came out of University of California, San Francisco. It doesn't look great, but what it is, it's a driving game. And this was really significant research from September. They had old people aged 60 plus, and they had young people, and they got them to play a driving game. You drove down a street, and you looked at these different signs, and you multitasked. What was significant was that the amount that the cognitive functions came down, as in got better, for old people was huge. It was like 20 points or 20% or something like that. I can't remember their exact measurement thing. But their brain age, in a good way, came down significantly as they were playing these games over months. Now, for younger people, the change wasn't as significant. It was only a few points. But what this one experiment showed was this really, really strong connection between video games, multitasking, enjoyment, you know, something that's interactive, and your brain getting better. They call it, there's plasticity and elasticity to your brain. And as we get older, that decreases. We're not learning as much stuff. We sort of like shamble around, you know, getting old and doing things. Games bring that back, bring the youthful brain back. That's really hard to say, brain back. Other reports have found, or studies from the sort of same group, and I'm not talking about this, it's not widespread. This isn't like there's been 100 reports, there's literally like 3 or 4. And that's where my research really kicked off, because I realized that no one's really looking at cognition and video games. So people that play older people who play video games, or games like chess or canasta or whatever, I don't know, other games, backgammon, have much better, or much higher positive mental well-being. They're actually less prone to depression, they're less prone to negative thoughts, they function better socially just through games, not just video games, but just through games. And those that don't tend to have darker, more negative thoughts and have high levels of depression just through games. And this is really interesting because this goes against, in a way, everything we know. I mean, most of you in the audience here are quite young, right? And you're told at some point to like stop playing games. That's what kids do. Children do that. Stop doing that. Stop having fun. You know, you're old now. Stop having fun. I don't know why anyone would say that, but they do. So now the research is showing that actually you should play games. You should still play games. You should play games until the day you die because it will keep your brain young. So here are some of the issues we have. So this is all great, right? We've got, you know, games are brilliant. Video games are great. But why aren't older people playing games? There's a couple of obvious reasons. One reason is that the controllers themselves, the actual access we have to games, these kind of don't quite look like space shuttle controls, but it's kind of close to some for some people. I actually have students that are in their like 20s that don't play video games because they find the controls far too complex. Too many buttons, what does he do? Ah, you know. Also, there's no relation. If I'm a driving game and I'm doing this, I'm twiddling my thumbs at this point, if you're only listening on audio only. If you're twiddling your thumbs, it's not the same as driving, right? I mean, that makes sense. So it's hard for us to make those cognitive leaps to these abstracted control systems. So that's a barrier to entry. This is another barrier to entry. Games to most people look ridiculously complex, but they're not. What video games do, almost better than any other form, is take you from, I've never played this game before in my life, to really, really complex, really, really well, complex is the best word for it, systems, but they do it in really, really small steps. They tutorialize all the way along. You're constantly being sort of eased up. It's not like dropping you in at the deep end and saying, go do this, go do that. You don't get here in 2 weeks. You get here in months. And most people, this is World of Warcraft, by the way, most people that have these mad screens aren't even conscious of the fact they've learned all this stuff and they started with like one little icon at some point in their lives. They're just not even conscious because it's been learned. It's been dealt out in such small chunks. Another thing that video games are really good at, beyond learning and taking on a really, really sort of slight learning curve, is they learn. Video games can also be programmed and are being programmed now to set their own levels. If you're finding a certain area hard, they'll back down and then they'll ease it back up again. They might back down again. So it's not like, well, you just suck at this, go away, you know, which is what some games, like chess to a lot of people, is it's like a zero-sum game. I suck at it, I'm never going to play a game. Video games don't have that. They can actually kind of learn with you. So we're at the stage now where we've got into much more intuitive controls. We have no control in some cases. The Kinect, where you can wave your hands around and it tracks you. Or we have much more simple controllers like Wii. So we've got a lot of the technology we need. But the question that very few people are asking, and I started to ask in my research, is what do older people want? And it turns out older people want the same thing that younger people want. They want to be able to participate in their societies. They want to participate in stuff. They want to be engaged, which is another thing that video games are really good at. They want social contact, and that can be real or virtual. It's as valid to have contact with somebody on the other side of the planet as in the same room. Community gaming, stuff like that. That's something that can be totally done with video games. But also, hidden in this game scenarios is things like monitoring health. Right now, the idea of going to the doctors for a lot of old people, you get prodded and poked, and it's horrible. Kinect can actually, because it's not just monitoring your hand and eye movements and your head movements, it's so sophisticated that it can actually register the blood flow underneath your skin. So it can actually monitor your stress levels, your lots of different other levels without in a very non-intrusive way. So you can be playing a game, having fun, and actually all this data is sent off to your doctor and doctor's going, oh, you're going to have a heart attack in a minute, better stop, you know. But the most important thing is promoting positive well-being. Games do that better than almost any other form of entertainment we have. So we've got games as therapy. This is a proven thing. People are using physical therapists, doctors are using things like the Wii. It's getting people up off the couches. You know, if you have a tennis racket, are you playing a tennis game with the Wii, you have your little Mitar, or whatever they call them, little Mies. You know, you can swing a racket, a virtual racket. It's there's a very strong connection between the movement of your hand and the movement on screen. It's obvious. You make a bowling ball action and, you know, you bowl on screen. So the control is not actually really there anymore. So what we're starting to look at, and I'm looking at, my research is really, really new. That's why this is the first time I've really talked about it. I'm working with people out of Edinburgh and Denmark who deal with health issues and health interaction. And so we've got new tools. What we need is new approaches. We need to design and develop these new games because we don't know what they are yet. No one's done this yet. We've got one sort of slightly iffy game from people from the university. There's literally one out there that's dealing with this idea of cognition and younger brains. So really, this whole talk isn't really a talk or a lecture. I hope it's not anyway. It's actually an invitation because everyone is now about 14 minutes older than they were when I started talking, and you're probably feeling it by now as well. But I want to make sure that as we grow old, our games grow old with us, that we're not putting away our childish things, that we're still engaging with media, because this interactive media stuff is going to get better, it's going to get clever, it's going to get more and more sophisticated from a back-end point of view. But from our point of view, it's easier to engage with, it's more fun to engage with, and so we're looking for partnerships, we're looking for research partnerships, and we're looking for developers and all this sort of stuff. And we have some already, but the main push is taking the research there is now, which is really, really small, like 3 papers last year, and developing on it, because this idea of cognition and having a younger brain, it's just fascinating, the fact that a single video game can make such a significant change in someone's brain age, and that's also the name of a Nintendo game as well, consequently. So if there's one takeaway from this, is that you should all be playing video games. And I'm not here to like sort of say, yeah, video games are great, the industry, but seriously, you should. If you want to keep a young brain, if you want to stop your brain from stagnating as you get older, those of you who are 20, don't worry about it. But 40 years from now, seriously, you want to be playing games because games promote a great state of mental well-being, but also they make your brain younger. All right, thank you very much.